fuel.
Yeah, fill her up with Comedy-O-Rama.
Comedy-O-Rama Theater presents The Misadventures of Sherlock Holmes, the honest and true memoirs of a non-entity. Episode 6, The Giant Rat of Sumatra.
My name is Sherlock Holmes, detective, logician, master of all evildoers, masculine pipe smoker, cocaine addict, and a generally wonderful individual. As Watson usually says, it is with a certain dread that I look back on this particular adventure. Now, when I say dread, I don't just mean dread. I mean dread. The dreadfulest sort of dread. And I'm not referring to one of Mrs. Hudson's meat pies, although they were pretty dreadful. No, I am referring to a story for which the world is not yet prepared. At least, Watson claims that the world is not yet prepared. I think they might very well be prepared for it. Of course, Watson has written several times that the world is not yet prepared. But I'm going to tell the tale anyway. Of course, there may be some part of the world which is not prepared for the story, in which case, I'll direct it to the other part of the world. But if the part that isn't prepared hears me, well, never mind. Dr. Watson, my dear friend, companion, and Boswell, and please don't ask me what Boswell is because I haven't the foggiest. Watson was written by a bat. Bitten by a rat. The very rat that I had brought back with me from the island of Sumatra. Watson contracted a mild form of Cooley's disease and a severe case of fleas, and was taken to hospital. Therefore, he was not here when the incredible facts of this, my most bizarre case to date, began to unfold. Sinbad, that's the rat's name, had eaten all the cheese in our flat and was squealing for more when Mrs. Hudson entered our sitting room.
Well, now, I've brought the cheese you had asked for.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Hudson.
What in the name of the good saint is that?
My stomach is grumbling. That's why I needed the cheese.
Your stomach must be a ventriloquist. That sound is coming from your bedchambers.
Yes, well, it's all part of my latest treatise on the effect of hunger pains on sleep.
Mr. Holmes, I wasn't born yesterday, you know.
I know.
What was that?
Nothing.
You're hiding something strange in that room. And I aim to find out exactly what it is. And what is this, Mr. Holmes?
A cat?
It looks a bit like a rat to me.
I assure you it is a cat.
In fact, it looks a great deal like a rat.
It's a cat.
What kind of cat is it?
A Sumatranese. Very rare breed. Only eats cheese.
And why is it here?
It's all part of my latest treatise on rat catching.
Rat catching?
I have discovered that by breeding a cat to look very much like a rat, the cat can easily infiltrate any rat's home. Once inside, the cat, who looks very much like a rat, can win over the rat's confidence, and when the moment is right and the rat is off guard, the cat can catch the rat as all good cats should do.
I still think it's a rat.
It is a cat.
It's no use trying to hide the fact any longer. I am a rat. And I want my cheese.
Oh, I knew it!
Did that rat just talk?
So, what of it? Is my choice of the vernacular offensive to you?
It is a medical fact that rats don't talk.
Who says they don't?
Why, everybody.
Don't believe everything you hear. All rats, small or great, and I am of the latter variety, have the power of verbalization.
I never heard one before.
Rats always talk to me.
They do? Well, they never talk to me.
Perhaps you're not hanging around the proper rats?
The most natural thing in the world.
Perfectly natural.
Give me the cheese.
Oh, what a cute big fella he is. Hmm. Mr. Holmes, you may keep him for a pet if you're of a mind to.
Hmm?
What a darling creature is he.
Thank you very much indeed.
I'm confused.
Try cocaine.
You mean you really don't mind my keeping a rat for a pet?
When you moved in, and what a sorry day it was. I told you that you couldn't keep a dog. I never said anything about a rat.
Mm.
Well, I must be going.
Oh, there's something else I wanted to ask you. Why are you wearing three dresses?
Now, that's a silly question, it is.
It certainly is.
Why? I'm wearing three dresses. So that when one gets dirty, I can slip it right off, and I'll have another one underneath. That way, I don't have to be getting dressed as often.
Conservation is a virtue. Wee, 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 wee. More cheese, please.
Oh,
wee, wee,
wee, wee. I'll just pop downstairs and get you some, you darling creature.
Wee, 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 wee.
Goodbye, Mrs. Hudson.
No, why would you be calling me that?
Because that's your name.
That's not my name.
It's not? What is your name, actually?
You're the great detective. Deduce it yourself.
Let me see. Blue eyes, a head of florid red hair, streaks of grey, short, fat, old.
Middle age.
Irish lilt, lives at 221A Baker Street, London, rents rooms out to a doctor and a part-time detective. I have no idea.
I am your notorious Professor Moriarty.
Impossible. The foul fiend is dead.
That's what I wanted you to believe.
You fiend.
I'll go and get the cheese.
You foul fiend. Oh, Professor Moriarty.
Yes?
Could you also bring up a cup of tea? It was all quite strange. I didn't know what to make of it at all. Sinbad, the ravenous rodent, ruminated cheese by the pound. Mrs. Hudson, I mean Professor Moriarty, brought it up for him daily. Cheddar, Stilton, Edam, Gouda, Swiss, Parmesan, Gorgonzola, cottage cheese, cream cheese, pot cheese, even Limburger. The only cheese the rat refused to eat was Cheshire. Because he said it reminded him of the cat.
More cheese. More cheese.
He cried, and he began to grow bigger and bigger with each pound he consumed. I had to begin walking him on a lead. He was as big as a cocker spaniel. One afternoon, I was walking on the corner where Portman Mansions and Baker Street meet, down by number 436, when...
"'Twas Billig in the slithy toes, did gyre and gimble in the waves, all mimsy with the borogoves and the mome raths, all grave.
Oh.
Beware the jabberwock, my son, and..."
"Shh, be quiet, Sinbad, lest somebody should hear you. I could never explain a rat speaking."
"Tell him I'm a cocker spaniel."
"I could never explain that either."
"The jaws that bite, the claws that catch."
"Sherlock? Sherlock! It's me, Inspector Gregory Lestrade. I don't believe you've met my friend, Sergeant Frederick."
"Oh, hello there."
"Oh, hello. How's every little thing going?"
"Oh, simply divine, isn't it, Gregory?"
"Oh, yes, Freddy, simply. I just love working the interrogation room at Scotland Yard. Don't you, Freddy?"
"Oh, yes, Gregory. They just lock you away with all those criminal brutes."
"Oh, divine. Why, the stories we could tell."
"Are you two still hanging around that Irish pub?"
"Oh, the Queen's Closet? Oh, yes. You deductive person, you."
"Gregory?"
"Yes, Freddy?"
"Tell Sherlock who we're meeting there today."
"Oh, no, let's let him guess. Come on, Sherlock. You silly savage. Guess."
"I have no idea."
"Oh.
Give him a hint, Gregory."
"Well, all right. He's the Irishman that proves that our little Irish pub could be a Gaelic bar. The man who gave no meaning to the words... God save the Queen."
"That playwriting proof with a playful pun?"
"Oscar Wilde."
"And is he ever?"
"You know, I said to Oscar the other day, I said, Oscar, hon, When are you going to give up that silly playwriting and learn how to make a butch living like boxing?
Well, he'd better be careful. The Marquis of Queensbury won't like that. He may end up in prison.
Well, prison life must be divine.
Oh, yes.
But those striped suits have got to go. Trey Gauche, I mean, I'd look perfectly putrid in stripes.
I prefer something in paisley.
Oh, that's nice.
You beware the Jub-Jub Bird and Chun the Frubius Bandersnatch.
Hello, Freddy. Did that dog just recite Jabberwocky?
Oh, I do believe he did.
Sherlock, that's one bright cocker spaniel you have there. Oh, Lewis Carroll. Now, Freddy, there was a man.
The man who made Alice.
A little.
You two don't find it in the least bit odd that my dog can talk?
Oh, no. Well, that's the most natural thing in the world.
Second most natural.
Oh, I stand corrected. Well, I was discussing Plato with my German shepherd just the other day.
And what did your German shepherd say about Plato?
Well, it's interesting because he said...
Listen to what he said.
He said, all this philosophy is bosh. The only thing you can really count on are oysters.
Oysters?
No, oysters are divine. He said...
Listen to what he said.
He said, oysters will one day conquer the world.
The time has come, the walrus said.
And you think he's right?
Well, I don't know.
Well, they can conquer me any time.
Well, we've simply got to fly. Oscar awaits. Ta-ta, Sherlock.
Your good day, Inspector Lestrade.
Why do you call me that?
Because that's your name?
Oh, it's not his name, Ducky.
I feel as if I've been through all this before.
Like, okay.
See if you can guess my name.
Oh, yes, we'll play a game. It'll be fun.
Well, let me see. 6'2", thin, smokes a pipe, lives with a doctor in... I know, you're me.
Oh, close, but no cigar. I am Professor Moriarty.
I should have guessed.
He took his wobble sword in hand and...
Oh, I just love animals who recite poetry. Is my trembling apparent?
Trico kind.
Well, ta-ta. Again, Sherlock.
Bisey-wisey.
Long time the Manxum foe he sought. So rested he by the tum-tum tree.
Oh, shut up, Sinbad! It was all too much for me to handle. Everywhere I went, Moriarty was there in disguise. Even though he was dead, he was still as clever as ever. I locked Sinbad and myself in our flat, where the malefic mathematician could not find us. I bolted the doors, secured the bars on the windows. At last, I felt safe. Sinbad and I became very close. We couldn't help it. At the rate he was growing, he took up most of the room. We played cards to pass the time.
Gin.
He was an extremely good player for a rat. In the evening, he would recite Jabberwocky for me.
"'Twas Billy and the Slithy Toes."
It was the only poem he knew. Later, I would play my violin. My rapturous renditions would always bring him to tears. After a while, I had to stop playing. Sinbad would cry so much he'd get my violin wet. And since my violin was made of cardboard, it was getting rather soggy. Soon, Sinbad grew so big that his grey head touched the ceiling. By this time, we had run out of cheese.
More cheese, more cheese.
Sinbad went into a fit of rage. He broke through the walls of the flat, growing still larger as he leapt to the street below. Sinbad, the giant rodent from Sumatra, was now as tall as a two-story building as he stalked down the gaslit cobblestones of Baker Street that night and disappeared into a thick veil of fog. The next morning, Mrs. Hudson, or Moriarty, or whoever she or he is, stormed into my flat.
Mr. Holmes! Mr. Holmes!
How did you get in here?
Whatever do you mean? Well,
you came in here without benefit of opening the door.
Oh, sorry. Mr. Holmes! Mr. Holmes!
What is the trouble, Mrs. Moriarty, Professor Hudson,
Have you read, perchance, the morning paper?
I find knowledge gets in the way of my deductive powers.
I was wondering what did it. London is in the ghoulish grip of a monster 10 times more horrible than my cooking.
Now, that is hard to believe.
A giant rat has been stalking the streets, pillaging every cheese shop in town, and now it's heading out to the neighboring countryside.
Has it killed anyone?
No, but it's caused a terrible inconvenience.
I must capture it quickly.
Before it steals any more cheese?
No, before the police find out it's my rat. The countryside, you said?
Yes, but that was last night. The paper said it went north.
I'd better leave right away. Oh, I wanted to ask you, are you really Professor Moriarty?
Yes.
I saw Inspector Lestrade the other day, and he claims that he is Professor Moriarty.
He is. We are. Mm-hmm. And so are 3 1/4 of the oysters in London. We're a big crime family.
Amazing. Are your shoes made out of cardboard?
What of it?
Oh, nothing. Only try to refrain from crying on your cardboard shoes.
Why?
I've learned from experience that they get very, very soggy. I still haven't deduced how Mrs. Moriarty Hudson entered the flat without the use of a door. And even if she had used the door, she still could not have got in, for I had bolted the door shut. This was when I began to think that this was no ordinary case. And why didn't Mrs. Hudson Moriarty notice that the entire front of her building had been ripped down by my giant rat? Most baffling. I went out on my search for Sinbad. What I found was most disturbing. Every cheese shop in London had been ransacked. Everywhere. The Pen and Wig Club, Simpson's Tavern, the Divan, the Holborn Restaurant, all were levelled. Wherever cheese could be found, Sinbad had left his mark. As I walked towards Piccadilly Circus, I could see there were giant oysters running around everywhere. But nobody seemed to take any notice. I tried to warn people, but they merely laughed at me. I went north into the countryside. I called, Sinbad! Sinbad, the giant rat of Sumatra, it's me, Sherlock Holmes! He was nowhere to be found, but I had a plan. Mm-hmm. I disguised myself as a piece of cheese, Stilton, and knocked on the door of the first cheese shop I came to.
Sorry, mate, we've got all the cheese we need. Good day. Hey, you! Wait a minute. What kind of cheese are you?
Stilton, sir.
Oh, why didn't you say so? Come right in. We were all out of Stilton. You've come at a good time. Just get up on that shelf over there.
Certainly, sir. I was so relieved that the man didn't turn into Moriarty. I sat on the shelf of the cheese shop, waiting for Sinbad to come and pilfer my person. Unfortunately, my plan went awry when a sweet old woman came into the shop and bought me.
Excuse me, madam. I don't wish to appear snooty, but what are you planning to do with me?
I'm going to slice you up into 62 pieces, saute you in my skillet, and sprinkle you on my stew.
Sorry, I must insist that you do not slice me into 62 pieces, saute me in your skillet, and sprinkle me on your stew.
Why not?
Because I bruise easily.
You be more than bruised, Lobby, when I get through with you! Well, if I don't call me Professor Moriarty for nothing!
You too?
Now, hold still, Lobby.
Stop! Stop that at once! Put down that blade! Desist!
You are the most uncooperative piece of cheese I ever bought.
Madam, please! I'm a spoiled Stilton.
Spoiled?
Downright sour, in fact.
Oh, well, we can't have that, can we?
Certainly not.
Well, out the window you go, Lawful!
I got out of that mess all right, but stranger things were to come. I sat there in a pile of trash beneath her window, thinking what I should do next, when I heard a voice coming from my knapsack.
Hey, you.
Who, me?
Yeah, you. Sherlock Holmes, the one dressed like a piece of cheese. You're letting me out of this sap and knock.
Who am I talking to?
I'm a new violin.
I'll let you out.
Watch it. Watch it. I'm a delicate instrument today. Hey, what are you doing?
But how can you talk?
Hey, I speak right up. I talk pretty good, eh? Hey,
I'm going to help you.
How can you help me? You're just an ugly old violin.
Hey, watch your mouth. I'm not ugly. I still got skin like a bambino.
But you are old.
Sure, I'm old. Hey, that's true. I'm a very old. But I come from a famous family. I am a Stradivarius. Hey, but you can call me Straddy.
How can you help me, Straddy?
Wait a minute, not so fast. First, you got to promise to do something for me, Sherlock, a homeless.
Call me Sherl.
If I help you find this giant rat, Sherl, you got to promise that you're going to take a violin lessons. I may be made out of cardboard. And yet, I know that I am a great violin. Yeah, the way you play me, I sounded like that the cat did when you knocked her off at the London Bridge.
Oh, don't remind me.
When you run your bow across my strings, they are supposed to sing like a Florence the Nightingale, not a meow like Teresa the cat. They are supposed to come to life. I am a vibrant violin. I want to sing as only a violin should sing, with the glory. You get my continental drift?
I'm a bit confused. How can you help me?
Get up out of that pile of trash. And now take off of that silly costume. I don't want to be seen in public with a piece of cheese, you know? Now, listen. You know that old expression? Music, she soothes the savage beast.
That's a breast.
Hey, watch your language. We're gonna catch the rat with my cat the strings. Pretty good, eh?
And so I played my violin as best I could and waited.
Oh, what a beautiful night it is. The gas light, she's a beaming down on the cobblestones. The fog, she's a rising from the street.
How's my violin playing?
Keep practicing.
Suddenly, from out of the fog, came a great looming figure.
It was Billig and the Slithy Toves.
It was my giant rat. I continued to play, and Sinbad began to cry. I started to walk back towards London. As I continued to play, Sinbad followed close behind.
Keep a playing, Sherlock. You're doing fine. Hey, I'd a pinch of your cheeks, but I ain't got no hands. Now, just to lure him back to London.
And that's just what I did. Well, almost. I did take one tiny wrong turn and ended up in a dark alleyway. Sinbad, the giant rat, followed me in. And now, I was trapped like a rat. Sinbad walked towards me. I stopped playing my violin and froze with fright. Sinbad walked closer and closer. But as he did, he seemed to grow smaller. He began to take on a human form. The closer he walked, the more human he became. Soon, we were face to face.
Hello, Governor. It's me.
Sinbad?
No, it's me. You'll never get shut of me. You gave me a bit of a choice about in these here London fogs. If I'm an unsolved case, it's no thanks to you. Who am I? You know? Come on, have a go. Say it.
Well, let me see. Aside from a few obvious characteristics, such as the fact that you limp slightly on your left foot and have a sister named Eunice and you eat snails and like it, I can deduce nothing at all.
I'll give you a little hint. I'm that international cut-up, that supreme sultan of slashers, that naughty knave of the nasty knives, that snarling snuffer out of the snivelling tart.
I know! You're Professor Moriarty!
Oh, no.
Whew, well, that's a relief.
I'm jolly Jack the Ripper.
Jack the Ripper?
Hello, hello, hello. So, we finally meet, eh, Mr. Holmes, is it? I felt you closing in there a time or two in the old days.
I can feel your hot breath on me neck. We never did meet face to face, which is just as well. You got bad breath.
Jack, I'm a bit confused. You're supposed to be my giant rat.
I am. I'm the biggest rat of all. I planned this old thing to try and trap you here. How are you getting on, Governor?
I've been having a terrible time for the past few days. How are you getting on?
Absolutely ripping, Gov. It's these new modern times making my work so much easier. I am now using one of them newfangled blades, and I get every so many more harlots to the blade. It sounds like bragging, I know, but I can cut me up 16 drabs and still get a clean, close shave.
I've heard. But you must admit, I gave you a few close shaves myself, Jack.
Oh, you did indeed, and no mistake. I remember the time you disguised yourself as one of them there tarts to try and trap me. If I hadn't have spotted your calabash pipe sending out them clouds of Jamaican shag, you might have undergone some unneeded surgery. And I would have found myself brought to book on a malpractice charge.
You mean you're not going to slash me?
Oh, wait a minute, Gov. I didn't say that. But here, I brung you a little gift. A brand new 16-piece starter set of exquisite dinnerware. All knives.
I would have preferred spoons.
Let them have it, gang!
Suddenly there loomed in front of me 15 giant oysters and one giant cat. On her collar was the name Teresa. They were all holding knives. They lifted them as members of an orchestra would lift their instruments. Jack the Ripper, as their conductor, gave the signal, and they all began to slash at me in unison. And then...
And then what? What diabolical event could happen next? Does Jack the Ripper indeed slash the helpless Sherlock Holmes? Tune in next time and find out. You have been listening to The Giant Rat of Sumatra, Episode 6 of The Misadventures of Sherlock Holmes. As Sherlock Holmes, you heard Vernon Morris. Mrs. Hudson and the Cockney Cook were played by Jan Meredith. Sinbad the Rat was Henry J. Quinn. The cheese shop owner was Gary Beery. And Holmes' violin and Jack the Ripper were played by Joseph Bevilacqua. Technical production was by Dan Finton. The Giant Rat of Sumatra was written, produced, and directed by Joseph Bevilacqua. This is your announcer, Joe Bev, asking you to tune in again next time for Tales from the Vienna Wards, Episode 7 of The Misadventures of Sherlock Holmes.
Aren't you supposed to be listening to Comedy-O-Rama?
Waterlog Productions.
Comedy-O-Rama is supported by Bear Manor Media, publisher of the authorized biography of cartoon voice legend Dawes Butler, characters actor.
Yogi Bear.
For more information, check out BearManorMedia.com.